I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the honor and absolute privilege of being joined by my darling friend and dear sister, Sister Razia Shamani. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you, my dear Zainab?
Alhamdulillah, I'm very well and even better. But I'm in the studio with you.
Alhamdulillah, the same year.
So on the previous episode of Muslim Lady, we were talking about the history, the vague history, to be honest, that surrounds the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you mentioned, Ruqayya, Zainab, Fatima, Kulthum. All of them but Sayyida Fatima passed away before Rasulullah, during the life of Rasulullah. And Sayyida Zahra, obviously, was martyred and passed away shortly after her beloved father. We talked about the exemplary treatment Rasulullah had, not only toward his own daughters, or the daughters of Sayyida Khadija, but the daughters of all his wives, his stepdaughters, daughters of strange men, actually, other men living in his house. But he respected them, he cared for them, I think he even taught them in certain points. Well, such a blessing for those women to be in the proximity of Habibullah, you know, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the way Rasulullah came about and single-handedly eradicated the dark, bitter culture that existed in the Arabic Peninsula of that time regarding women in general, and how he revived and returned their God-given right, dignity, and position, which was the mercy of a household, the door toward Allah's heavens for the father, the blessing, the abundant goodness. And all of that, he just redefined them, reintroduced them to the people again, and broke stereotype.
All that, we said that you can look at the relationship between Fatima, Sayyida Fatima, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from an educational perspective,
yes,
and how you can implement these into your daily lives as father, and the relationship you can possibly have with your daughter. Of course, one can claim that perhaps some of his extreme respect for Fatima was because of her elevated spiritual ranking.
Unparalleled, yeah.
That she had.
Mm.
And of course, the noble prophet was her mentor, right?
Mm.
And her guide. Not only he was the prophet, and he had a very close relationship with Fatima. Later we will say the different things that happened between the two of them. Now, according to narrations, after Lady Fatima's marriage with Ali ibn Abi Talib, her house was a distance away from the house of the noble prophet, and the messenger of Allah would go a long distance every single day to the house of Fatima.
Wait, how was her house a distance away? Her house
in the very beginning of her marriage.
Okay, before they built.
Before, yeah. Next to the Masjid al-Nabi. He would go for, you know, some distance to see his beloved daughter,
mm-hmm,
right? And maybe this was the reason why the Muslims built a house close to the house of the noble prophet for Sayyida Fatima,
right?
Right.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Indeed, we have granted you, O Muhammad, Al-Kawthar. So pray to your Lord and sacrifice to Him alone. Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the historical details behind the life of the numerous daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
About the relationship of the Prophet with his granddaughters, we can say that he was an exceptional grandfather. And there was the case of Amana. Mm-hmm. There was this case of Amana, Zainab's daughter, remember?
Yep.
Right? He loved her a lot. And obviously, when, you know, he would gift them from time to time. And in the book of Tabaqat, which is a historical book, it is narrated that once the noble prophet received a beautiful necklace as a gift, right? And he faced his wife and he said, I will give it to the one who is more lovable to me. And then everybody witnessed that he gave this beautiful necklace to Amana, right? So this was just a small instance of the love of a grandfather to a beautiful grandchild.
And to have a grandfather like Rasulullah.
It's something exceptional. It just melts your heart. It
truly does.
Right. The noble prophet paid, like, he invested so much emotional
energy
into his daughters. And into the girls in his family. And beautifully, all this warmth, love, and attention, and extra care to these girls, which you might think that he's spoiling them, turned these women to be brave, strong, influential women in their history.
I need you to elaborate on that because most of them just died.
Yeah, but I can talk more. Lady Fatima herself,
Salamullah
alayha, this much love, this much attention that he paid to Lady Fatima and the khutbah of Fadakia, that it talks for itself.
Self-sufficient.
Just, you know, I don't have to explain more.
True. It gave her that confidence, self-worth, self-respect, integrity,
and
strength.
She never, ever exited her house. She wasn't in the society like, you know, like we are these days. To say that, well, you know, we have experience being with other men and being around men. And, you know, we know how to speak out. We know how to defend our rights because we have passed classes. We have been brought up this way in our school systems, in our public speaking classes, you know, in women's rights. All these movies that you're constantly bombarded with, girl empowerment, woman empowerment, Supergirl, this, that. You just take a look at all the new animations that have been made, and you'd see that in all of them, the main feature, the main character is a girl who has been empowered.
That is the current trend.
And this girl is treated, is made to be treated roughly and harshly. She has to find her way in the jungle. She has to fight her way amongst the people in the society. She has to prove herself. She has to say that I'm, you know, first she's a girl. Nobody looks at her. Nobody respects her. Nobody even considers her as a human being. Then she proves that I can not only change my destiny, but I can change the destiny of my people. And I was watching a movie. I watch movies analytically. And in one of these movies, the girl was saying that over decades, there have been so much emphasis on the role on empowering women that men have been driven to the periphery.
Right.
To the margin of life. And the result is a bunch of loser guys. Seriously. Mm. Who are not strong men, who are not responsible husbands and fathers. And, you know, they're just feminine.
We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back. So don't go anywhere.
please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Prior to modernity, in the traditional stage of life, there were certain values in the society mm-hmm. where there was patriarchy. The man was the head of his family. He was the breadwinner. And with the money that he brought, he had power. He had position. You know, in the family, he spent for his family. And with the spending of money, it gave him a sense of authority, a sense of power. And in the society, with this power, with this money that he earned, he had social power, social stance. Now, everything changed after the revolution, after the Industrial Revolution, where machines came and factories were designed in a way that women could do many of the things. And after the First and Second World Wars,
women had to do a lot of the things.
Where men were absent from cities and women replaced them. They were the breadwinners. You know, so many things changed, right? And here, in the midst of all these changes, we still have a lot of identity crisis. We don't know where we fit in the society, like as a woman. The lines, the borderlines of male and female are becoming more blurred, and more blurred.
Yeah. And aside from the fact that we suffer from identity crisis as a people, we're having trouble defining what society needs to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know? We're having troubles defining whether society needs working woman or
housewife mom,
a caring mother. And interestingly, there was one of the lecturers, from our Sunni brothers, he was saying that the word housewife, who was the first person to coin it anyway? In Arabic, when Islam reveres that position, they call it the Rabbul Bayt. Mm. No, it's the woman.
It's the woman?
Yes, of the Bayt. She's the one who manages the home. She's the one who cares for it. She's the one who nourishes it. She's the one who supports it. She's the one who trains it. She's the one who... Saying that she's a housewife, it's like she's married to the house, you know? Mm. She's the cooker and the cleaner and the washer and the diaper changer and the... But no, when you look at it as the person who is the murabbi, you know, the trainer of the home, of the hearts, of the individuals, the one who's responsible of the human aspect of the house rather than laundry and dishes and food. Sayyida Zahra was happy about not being given masculine duties of having to leave her home and being rubbing shoulders with men in society and digging wells and planting trees and farming and fighting and, you know, going to the marketplace. You don't need to be masculine to be an extraordinary woman. Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, and thank you so very much for our listeners for being with us on yet another episode of Muslim Lady. Until another greeting and salam, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.